Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yivamos Daf Kuf Tes. We left off on Daf Kuf Ches Amud Beis. We had not quite gotten to the Mishnah. We are at the last skinny line on Daf Kuf Ches Amud Beis. This year is sponsored by Dr. Dave Lander, in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very, very much for the continued sponsorship. So first we're going to discuss what it was that they paid people to ask Rabbi Akiva while he was in jail. We suggested one shayla that maybe they asked him in the Gemara and said, nah, that's not really a shayla. So what exactly was it that they were asking him about? Then the Mishnah is going to discuss what if a person is megarish a woman and then he's machzir her, and then after he's machzir her, she's mima'ena. So according to, and then after he's machzir her, he dies. So is she allowed to do yibum? Do we assume that she's a grusha, and therefore since she was a grusha, she's grusha's achiv, and grusha's achiv is not allowed to do yibum, or do we assume is not eligible for yibum, or do we assume that no, she was an almana because the last time that they were married, the husband died, even though they happened to have been married twice. The last time the husband had died, and therefore she's eligible for yibum. So the Gemara is going to relate that to a case of a katana as well, or the Mishnah rather is going to relate that to a katana as well, but then the Gemara is going to discuss four possibilities as to why Rabbi Eliezer would say that in that case it's usher, that it's usher for her to do yibum in that case, on account of the fact that that he had once divorced her before he had remarried her and then died. And then the Gemara is going to discuss, and what about her tzara? And according to Rabbi Eliezer, is the tzara mutter to do something? Or if she herself is usher? Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about where you have situations that there's a katana whose husband dies. So how do we deal with a variety of different yibum situations when her sister is married to the husband's brother? So if the sister is a katana, if the sister is a gadola, how do we handle those situations? And that's going to leave the gemara. Since one of the suggestions is going to be in a case where you have a katana and a gadola, one of the suggestions in the Mishnah is going to be that we're melamedes the katana to do miyun. We tell the katana, you ought to do miyun over here in order to clear the path for your sister to be able to be involved in the mitzvah's yibum. So the Gemara is going to discuss, well, is miyun something that we ever suggest? So the Gemara is going to talk about three things that a person should be marchik from, that and three things that a person should be yidbak to, should connect to. And the Gemara is going to bring rayas as to why those three and those three. Why three things that one should be marchik from, and why three things that a person dafka should not be marchik themselves from. And that's going to take us through the majority of Amud Beis. Then the Gemara toward the end of Amud Beis is going to talk about kiddushe katana vihigdila. What if a person is makadish a katana and then she became a gedola and they have not yet had bia? So what happens? So is she automatically married on a daraisa level as soon as she becomes a gedola, or is it necessary that they have kiddush, that they have bia at some point in order to sort of finalize the marriage on a daraisa level? So let's begin again the last skinny line on Daf Kuf Chasam Beis. So says the Gemara, Biram Kach Shalu. You want to know what shaila they asked Bishasa Sakana, that they have to send a message into Rabbi Akiva in jail? It was the following. You have a katana who was married to one's mother's brother. So it was a katana, it was a kiddushin to Rabbanan. So his mother's brother was the husband, and then the mother's brother dies. Now the guy himself can't marry her because shehi shnia lo. She is a shnia to him, so she's also to him midrabanan. Unisa'a achiv me aviv. However, his paternal brother, who is not related to this girl, marries her, and because he's muteris to her, umes, and then his paternal brother drops dead. So now his wife is asurah to him as a shnia because of, but only through marriage. She became a shnia to him only because she had married his mother's brother. But other than that, had it not been for that marriage, she never would have been asurah to him at all. But now it's a yibum situation, whereas she's a shnia to him. So Mausha Tmayin Hashta, now, long after the first husband died, can she do a miyun on that first marriage in order to make that first marriage disappear? And if it makes the first marriage disappear, she never was a shnia to him, and now she's married to, she was only married to his brother. His brother's dead, so he'll be able to yibum. She'll be able to be oker the original nisuin, and then she'll be miyabim. Normally, miyun doesn't happen after misas habal, but over here, through that, you'll be able to be mekayim of the mitzvahs yibum. So maybe miyun makes sense in this context, even after misas habal. So yesh miyun la'achar misa b'makom mitzvah alo. Do we assume that there is miyun la'achar misa at least b'makom mitzvah, where it's now going to enable a mitzvah yibum, or do we assume no, you cannot have miyun la'achar misa? So that's what they wanted to ask Rabbi Akiva when he was bebeis asurim. So sachru shnei bnei adam b'arba me'asuz. They hired two people for 400 zuz. They went to the beis asurim. Ubal v'shalosh Rabbi Akiva beis asurim. They asked Rabbi Akiva there va'asar, and Rabbi Akiva says no, you can't do miyun la'achar misa sabal. As Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira ben Tzivin, they then sent a message from Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira in Tzivin to ask him the same shayla va'asar, and he too says that it's asar, that even though they're going to be mevatel the mitzvah of yibum, you can't do miyun after misas hayavam, after misabal, rather, in order to enable the mitzvah of yibum. So now the Gemara goes back to what Rav said, that miyun is not going to be matir miyun against somebody else, miyun on somebody else is not going to be matir your get, and it's also for the megarish to now be to now take her back and marry her. So I'm Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashayon umoda Rav, that Rav is moda shemutar slach shozeh shenesra alav, that even though she becomes usher to that guy, but nevertheless she's mutter to the brother of the guy that she became asur to. So says Mar Pshita, of course that's going to be true. The whole iser to go back to him is only because of a gzeira that he might teach her or encourage her or convince her to be mima'enes on the second husband. But who knew the makaris b'mosav kritzosav? That only makes sense as far as the guy that she was once married to. He's the one that knows how to push her buttons. He's the one that knows how to convince her to do things. Aval achiv lo, but the brother doesn't even know her. So he doesn't have that kind of ability. So since the whole reason for the gezeira doesn't apply to the brother, what's the chiddush that she's mutaris to the brother? The miyun is oker the get, so it's oker the nisun lemafreya, and she's not eshes achiv. So says the Gemara that the chiddush of Yitzchak Bar Ashayon is ma'u detema ligzar hay otu hay. I might have thought that even though you're right, the reason for the gezeira is not shaykh, but nevertheless we should ask the brother gezeira that we might ask, we might come to be matir her to him himself. Because if we're matir, the brother, they'll come to be matir to the husband himself, that he's able to take her back. So kamash malan. That's why Yitzchak has to tell us they never made such a gzeira, and therefore she's allowed to marry the brother. So the Gemara brings another lashon in Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashayon. V'ikata amri, amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashayon, amar Rav k'shem shasura lo, kach asura lo achin. That not that she's mutaris to the brothers, she's asura to the brothers. But the whole reason for the gzera doesn't apply to the brothers. The brother's not going to be able to convince her to do anything against her better judgment, such as being mima enes. Yeah, gzera achivatuhu. That we in fact do make a gzera of achivatuhu. So Tula Shonos, whether Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashayon is saying that we don't make a gzera of achivatuhu, or we dafka do make a gzera of achivatuhu. Period. That finishes yesterday's discussion. So now the Mishnah discusses a woman whose husband divorced her and she became usher to his brothers because she's now grusha sachiv, and then the husband remarries her. The first husband remarries her and then he dies. So now as a result of the second go around, she's facing a yibum situation. Do we say that she does not do yibum because of the first marriage, or do we say she's allowed to do yibum because the yibum situation is a function of the second time she was married to this fellow and this time he died? So ha-megari shasi isha, a person is megari his wife, and therefore she becomes asura to his brothers because she's grusha sachiv vihichzira, and then he goes and remarries her. And then he drops dead. So muteres liyavam, she's allowed to do yibum. We don't say that once he was megarisher on the first go around, she became asura as a grusha sachiv, because the it's not that first go around that's mapil her to yavam. Because if that were the case, she would be also mishum grusha sachiv, and it doesn't matter that that she came back to him and that he died on the second go around. The heter is chal at the shasa misa, and just like misa is mapil matir nisr of eshes ach, so misa is going to be matir a previous isr of grushas achiv. Meaning, the whole idea of yibum is that it's matir that which would otherwise be asr. Say nachinami, this should otherwise be asr because it's grushas achiv, but now there's yibum. So now that it's that there's a misa, so it's a yibum situation, and therefore it's going to be matir. But Rabbi Eliezer says that it's asr to do yibum in this situation. But Rabbi Eliezer holds she does need to do chalitza. That's going to be clear in the Gemara, that it's not that she's off scot-free, she does need to have a chalitza. So we'll have four different explanations of why Rabbi Eliezer Oser. That line, Rabbi Eliezer Oser, is going to be the key focus of the Gemara. V'cheina megari shasi yasoma. And similarly, if a person is megari shasi yasoma, she became asr to his brothers midrabanan as a grusha sachiv. He was only ever married to her on a drabanan level. So when he was megarisher, she became asura midrabanan to his brothers. And then he remarries her, whether as a katana or whether as a gadola. Mutaras to the avam, she's mutaras to the avam. But Rabbi Lazar says that no, she's also to do yibum, but she's still going to require a chalitza. The only thing that we changed in this case is that the initial kiddushin was only on a drabbanon level, that it was a kiddushin of a ketana that was only on a drabbanon level. Now, ketana, she see a via, let's say you have a young girl whose father gave her over for kiddushin, so she's a ketana, but it's a kiddushin mido raisa, because the father is empowered to do so, vinis garsha, and then he divorced her while she was still a ketana, by giving the get to the father. So now, even though the father's alive, the father now no longer has rights to give her over for marriage anymore. It's a one-time right. He gave her over to marriage, didn't work out. He's able to receive the get on her behalf, but he's not able to give her over for marriage anymore. So ki yisoma b'chayayav, in that sense, she's like a yisoma, even though the father is physically still alive. So if she has a kiddushin, from that point forward, it's only going to be midrabanan. And then v'chzira, the first husband takes her back with this type of kiddushin midrabanan, and then he drops dead, and now she's facing a yibum situation on a drabanan level. So then divrei hakol asur liyavam. Then everyone's going to agree you can't do yibum because the first gerushin was a gerushin midaraisa, so she became grusha sachiv on a daoraisa level. When he went and remarried her, that was only a kiddushin midrabanan midaraisa. It's a zero. So if you put on your daoraisa glasses, you're looking at a woman that is purely a grusha sachiv, and therefore there's no way anybody's going to hold that she could do a yibum. She's kegrusha v'omedas from the first nisuin, and therefore it's not a yibum situation at all. So now the Gemara tries to explain the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, that a guy's brother marries a woman, divorces her, remarries her, and then drops dead. That Rabbi Eliezer says she cannot do yibum because the nefilu liyibum apparently comes from even though it comes from the nisuin hashim, from the second marriage, it's not matir the yisur of eishes ach that was chal from the first marriage. So Amar Ifa, my time at Rabbi Eliezer, what is the reason, what is the basis for Rabbi Eliezer asring the Yavam in a grushas achiv shechich zira, in his brother's divorcee, who the brother had then remarried and then dropped dead? So the Gemara says, answer number one, explanation number one, hol the amdol of sha achas bi sura, that since at the moment that he divorced her, she became asura as grushas achiv, nothing ever gets rid of that isser. That isser remains, even though the brother had then remarried her. It doesn't matter. There was a new Isra. The Yibum, we know, a situation of Yibum is Matir Esha Sachiv, but it's not Matir Grusha Sachiv. So she became a Grusha Sachiv at the moment that he divorced her. That Isra never goes away. So Amalei Rabbanan Leifa, so Rabbanan said to Eifa, Ihachi, if that's the case that Rabbi Lazar asks be Yibum, because there's just nothing that was ever Matir, the Isra of Grusha Sachiv, Chalitza Nami Lo Tibai, then you shouldn't even require Chalitza. It should be a non Yibum situation. So why does Rabbi Eliezer require chalitza? V'chitei machinami. Maybe you'll say, well, wait a second. I look at the Mishnah, all I see is V'Rabbi Eliezer Oser. Yeah, I know when I read the Mishnah before, I said, but Rabbi Eliezer still requires a chalitza. Mishnah didn't say that. Mishnah never said Rabbi Eliezer requires a chalitza. Maybe in a chinami does not require a chalitza. No, he does, because V'atanya Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Amru Choletes. We have a braisa that's explicit that Rabbi Eliezer says that Yitaka do need a chalitza. So the explanation for Rabbi Eliezer cannot just be that she's grusha sachiv and therefore it's a non-starter. For a non-starter, wouldn't even require a chalitza. Ella Amarifa, Rabbi Eliezer lo yadana my time. I don't know the reason for Rabbi Eliezer. I'm stuck. If you've rejected my answer, I don't have anything else. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, I got an answer. Hainu time with Rabbi Eliezer. I'll tell you why Rabbi Eliezer does not allow Yibum, but does require Chalitza in such a case. You were so close, Eifa. You had suggested that maybe the Yisra of Grusha Sachiv doesn't go away. You just forgot one word. Maybe. Maybe the Yisra of Grusha Sachiv doesn't go away. That must be Rabbi Eliezer's approach. Misabkalei imisa mapeles in the Sunnah Rishonim Apilim. He's not sure what do we view as being the generator of the situation of Yibum. Is it the Misa of the Yavam that the Zika is created by? And Bishas HaMisa, it's Mati the Yisra Yishasach, and therefore it should be Mati this as well? Or do we view the original Nisuin is what the was chal from. So on a tzad then she would be sorry if it's the misa is mapil. So that's right. So that would be matir the yisur veish sach. Or is it the nisun arishonim where there's nothing that's matir the yisur veish sach of grusha sachiv? So im misa mapelas haramia kameli yibum. If misa is mapil, so it's matir the yisur veish sach. So it's also matir the eish sach from the previous nisuin. In nisun arishonim. But if the gedder is that already at the time of the nisuin, the iser eshesach doesn't apply if later the husband's going to die, meaning we view it as if when they first get married, she becomes eshesachiv, except the iser eshesachiv is not going to kick in the event that in the future the guy dies without any children. So yeah, the Yisra of Eish Sachiv won't kick in, but there's another Yisra of Grusha Sachiv after the Gerish, and that for sure was Chal. So the Nisuin can only be Matir, that in the future the Yisra of Eish Sachiv won't be Chal, but it doesn't have the ability to be Mafkia, an already existing Yisra of Eish Sachiv from a previous marriage, so that it can't do, and since that already existed from a previous marriage that ended in Gerushin, so that's why maybe you can't do Yibum. So that's what Rabbi Eliezer was Mesubuk about. That's the second explanation of Rabbi Eliezer. Rava Amar, a third explanation of Rabbi Eliezer. Liolam Pshita, the Rabbi Eliezer, Dim Misa Mapeles. So Mikra Din, she's allowed to do Yibum, because it is the Misa that's Mapil, it's the Misa that's Matir Eshesach, and when it's Matir Eshesach, it's Matir Grusha. Question is, what will this look like? Everyone will know that the original husband was divorced her at some point. Not everyone's going to know that he remarried her. So everyone's going to see that now his brother is marrying her. So people are going to think that he's marrying Grusha Sachiv. So that looks terrible. So since on the Doraisa level she really needs Yibum, but it would look terrible if you do Yibum, because a lot of people won't realize that they had ever gotten remarried. It's going to look just like a case of Grusha Sachiv. So we can't allow Yibum, but we got to take care of it, so we do a Chalitza. So says Mar Adraba, Chazar came in the Asfa to say, Islaikallah, what do you mean? No one's going to know that they got remarried. They're living together. They're living like husband and wife. They're joint shul membership and everything. So what do you mean no one's going to know they got remarried? Everyone knows about that. So Milo Askinan, the Hadrubu Urcha Vishach Vitzafra. No, everyone will know about it if they have time to become upstanding members of the community. What if they got married the night before and he drops dead that morning? So never had a chance for the word to get out that they had gotten remarried. Another explanation, a fourth explanation of Rabbi Eliezer. Ravashi Amar Hainu time with Rabbi Eliezer, the Gazarhani Mishum Yisoma B'chayav V'chzira. The Rabbi Eliezer asers in Yibum and requires Chalitza, because he goes there to the second case of the Mishnah of a katana whose father married her off on a daraisa level, and she got divorced, and now she has a din of a yisoma b'chayei av, and then he remarried her. The same husband remarried her on a derabana level, and in that case, everyone agrees she's asura, because from a daraisa perspective, she's grusha sachiv. There was no second marriage. There was no situation of yibum. So everyone would agree in that case that she's asura to do yibum. So Rabbi Lazar makes the gzeira in a regular case, atu, a case of a yisoma b'chayei av. So achinami mistaver, and it's most mistaver that Ravashi is correct, that the gzeira is atu yisoma b'chayei av mitaktani seifa, from the fact that the seifa goes on to say ketana she see aviv iniskarsha ki yisoma b'chayei av v'chzira divrei kol shasur liyavam, that the seifa goes on and specifies and identifies specifically specifically that case of Yisoma B'chayav, and how everybody agrees that she's going to be Asura. So, Haimai Lememra, what's the Chiddush of that case? Pshita, isn't it obvious? On a Daraisa level, the woman does not require, the woman is Asura to the brother. She's Grusha Sachiv. So because of a Darabanan marriage, I would think otherwise. I would think that you're allowed to just violate Nisa Daraisa and marry Grusha Sachiv because mi Darabanan it looks like she's a real Yavam situation. No one would ever even have a Havamina. Why would the Mishnah tell me such an obvious thing? Oh, you know why the Mishnah's telling me such an obvious thing? Elulav, Hakamashmalan, Taima, the Rabbi Eliezer, the Gazar Hanuch, Mishamai, Shmamina. The Mishnah's telling me what Rabbi Eliezer's reason was in the Reisha by spelling out the obvious case that Rabbi Eliezer made a gzeira on account of. You want to know why Rabbi Eliezer says that at first the man is megarish woman, then he remarries her, and then he dies. Why does Rabbi Eliezer say the brother cannot do yibum? Because of the following case that's obvious, because he's gozer atu, the case of Yisoma b'chayav, where everyone's going to say that you're not allowed to do yibum. So that's what the basis of Rabbi Eliezer is. Tanya kavasi de Ravashi, and we have another brisa that supports exactly like what Ravashi says. Modum chamu de Rabbi Eliezer, the Chum agreed to Rabbi Eliezer in a case where the father gave the Ketana over for Kiddushin and then they got divorced, so she's Asura as a Grusha Sachiv, and now the father doesn't have the ability to be Mekadish her Kiddushin Min HaTorah anymore. She becomes like a Yisomi B'chayav V'chzira. Then the first husband remarries her, but that can only work Midrabanan because she's a Yisomi B'chayav, and then the husband drops dead. So Asura L'yavam, then everyone agrees the Chum are going to be Moda, she's Asura to the Yavim, because when he divorced her from the first go around, there was a real marriage and therefore a real Gerushin, it's a real Gerushin Min HaTorah, so she really is Grusha Sachiv, but Vein Chazarasa, Chazara Gemura. But the remarrying was not a Chazara Gemura. It was not considered a real marriage on a Doraisa level. Bamed, Varim Amurim, when do we say that the Chum are Moda to Rabbi Eliezer? That she's Asura to do Yibum, to her Yavam, Shegir, Shegir. That's only if she was a ketana all along. She was a ketana when he was megarisher, and then when he took her back, she was still a ketana, and therefore that kiddushin was only drabanan. But if he remarried her after she had already become a gedola, which means that the remarriage was midoraisa, inam yichziruk shikatana v'gadla etzlo. Or if he had remarried her when she was still a katana, so the kiddush was only midrabanan, but then she became a gedola, and therefore the first bia that they have after she becomes a gedola, we assume is l'shem kiddushin, and therefore the kiddushin is going to be chal midoraisa at that point. And then umes, and then he dies. So now there's a nefila liyibum in HaTorah. So that's matir the yisur of Eish HaSach, and therefore should be matir the yisur of Grush HaSach as well. So then, ocholatz asol mesiyabemes. Then the Rabban will say, you can even do yibum, but mishum Rabbi Lezer, amru cholatz asol lo mesiyabemes. Rabbi Lezer says, no, only chalitza and not yibum. So even though, the lechora, you should have been allowed to do yibum, from the fact that the Brisa writes, first, the case that the Chum and Rabbi Lezer are all moda to, that a Yisoma B'chayav cannot do Yibum, and then it gives the first case of our Mishnah, and it says, oh, in that case, Rabbi Lezer is also going to Aser. The Brice is obviously trying to set it up to tell me why Rabbi Eliezer Asers in that second case. It's on account of the case of Yisoma B'chayav, where everybody Asers. So now the Gemara discusses the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. So, by Mine Rava Meir Rav Nachman. Rava asked the following Shaila from Rav Nachman. In the case that we mentioned in the Brisa, that he was machzir after she had already become a gedola, where Rabbi Eliezer says she's not allowed to do yibum, but only because of a gzeira. Sarasa mahu, what if there was another wife? Will Rabbi Eliezer be gozer? Then not only can she not do yibum, the other wife also can't do yibum. So Amaleis, Rav Nachman said to Rava, not mistaver that he's going to ask the tzara. He gufa gzeira, even she herself, she's only asur to do yibum because of a gzeira atu yisoma b'chayei av. There's no real inherent reason that she should not be able to do yibum. So that na nekum v'nigzer gzeira l'gzeira. You think we're going to come and we're going to make a gzeira l'gzeira that the tzara is going to be problematic as well? No way. So the Gemara asks on Rav Nachman, holds that Rav Lezer is not going to be gozer on the tzara. So ask the Gemara, how can you say that Rav Lezer holds that the tzara is allowed to do yibum? V'atanya mishum Rabbi Eliezer amru, that they said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, He v'tzarasa choletzes. Both she and the tzara get chalitza. And we know that doesn't make any sense. He v'tzarasa saldaitach. How many chalitzas do you need in one family? You only need one chalitza. So what do you mean? He v'tzarasa choletzes. Elav, oh he, oh tzarasa choletzes. No, it must be telling me that you can only do chalitza over here. Pick your wife on which one you're going to do chalitza on. You could do the brother's, the one wife of the brother, you could do the other wife of the brother, but you can only do chalitza on one of them. So it sounds like even the tzara can't do yibum, but can only do chalitza. So says Gemara, laf terutzi kumitarat. Anyway, the brisa didn't make sense because it said, hi v'tzarasa chalitzas. So once you're changing the words, tritzachi, so change the words entirely. It should read as follows. He chalitzas, if you're going to choose the woman who had this whole history, where she was once married to him, and then there was a divorce, and that, so you're going to choose that case. So that woman. So then you got to do chalitza, but sarasa. Oh, chalitza samis yabemes. If you're going to choose tzara, so then you could do yibum as well, because we don't make a gzera. The gzera does not extend to the tzara as well. Period. That's the end of that discussion. So now the Mishnah discusses: you have two brothers that are married to two sisters, and either one of the sisters or both of the sisters are only married on a drabbanon level to the brothers. So how does that play out when a yibum situation comes up? So you have shnei achin nesun l'shtei achayos. Two brothers that are married to two sisters, ketanos, and both of the sisters are ketanos, and it's not a case where the father gave them over for kiddushin. They're ketanos, and therefore it's kiddushin midrabbanan. And one of their husbands die, so now the wife is facing a yibum situation. Halazu teitze, the almana is mutaris l'shok mishom achos isha, because she's achos isha, so she doesn't need chalitza or yibum, even though the kiddushin is only midrabanan, and she's not Pesra Achos Isha Midaraisa, because Midaraisa, it's not, there's no marriage over here, but her marriage wasn't a marriage either, Midaraisa. Her marriage is only, the entire playing field is a Drabbanan playing field. So that's why she's Mutaris L'Shuk, because however you want to view it, if you want to put on your Daraisa glasses and view everything as Daraisa, nobody was ever married over here, so of course she's Mutaris L'Shuk. And if you want to put on your Drabbanan glasses and view everything on a Drabbanan level, so good. So then she's Achos Isha, she's an Erva. She's this man's wife's sister. He can't do yibum on his wife's sister. She's the surviving brother's wife's sister, so it's not a yibum situation. V'chein shtei charashos, and it doesn't have to be ketanos. It could be charashos as well if you have two sisters that are charashos. So it's only midrabanan. Period. So now the Mishnah moves on to another case. I was preparing the daf and a chuppah last night. Sometimes it's hard to focus. I had such trouble with that. Like v'chein shtei charashos gedolu katana. If you have two charashos gedolu katana, that makes no sense. The next case makes no sense if they're charashos. Why would it set it up as charashos? It took me like so long. Thank God it was a long chuppah. So I was able to realize at the end, v'chein shtei charashos, period. That is the same status as shtei katanos. And then also, if a new case, you have gedolu uketana. You have an older sister that's married midoraisa, and then a younger sister that's only married midorabanan to two brothers, umeis pailash al katana. And the husband of the katana dies. So now there's a yibum midorabanan situation with the sister's husband. So teitei ketana mishum achos isha. So for sure she's part from yim chalitza because it's an erva. So again, mina Torah, she's not she was never married, so it's not even a yibum situation. The fact that there's a midrabanan yibum situation, but midaraisa, she's an erva. So of course that's going to pater. But here's what we're setting up: meis by l'shel gedola. Now we're going to have a machlokas. What if the gedola's husband died, and therefore she has a real yibum daoraisa situation? Problem is, the man she's supposed to yibum with is married midrabanan to her sister. So you can't do yibum because she's married midrabanan to the sister. So what do you do? But her zika is a zika daraisa. The sister's only married midrabanan. So it feels like she should have rights over here. So Rabbi Lazar says, Malamdin as ketana shetimayin bo. We tell the ketana to do miyun and therefore clear the path, clear the way for the yibum yibum to happen. There's a yibum d'oraisa. There's a zikah d'oraisa that could happen over here as long as the sister gets out of the way. How does the sister get out of the way? She does miyun and she gets rid of the marriage. Rav Gamliel Omer, no, imiyana miyana. We don't tell her anything. If she does yibum, if she does miyun, rather she'll do miyun, and then the gedola will be able to do yibum. But v'im lav, if the katana is not mima enes, so midaraisa, there's no achos zukukaso because the zika is tamten ad shetagdil. So she should wait. The katana should not have bia until she becomes older, and then her nisuin will become a nisuin min haTorah, and then v'teisa lazum mishum achos isha. Meaning, Rabbi Gamliel says, you know, there's another solution. Wait until the katana's marriage turns into a marriage midaraisa. Once it turns into a marriage midaraisa, then the almana becomes an erva midaraisa, and therefore she doesn't need yibum anymore. Rabbi Yeshua Omer ilo al ishto v'ilo al isha sachiv. That woe unto him with his own wife, and woe unto him with his brother's wife. Meaning, neither one of them has any sort of way to fix this situation, because Rabbi Yeshua holds that we have to stay away from miyun as much as we possibly can, so we cannot be malami the katana to do miyun. And he holds yesh zika, and the katana becomes asr to the yavam because of achos zukukaso. So they're both asr to him, that his wife is asr to him because of achos zukukaso, and his brother's wife is asr because of achos ishto. So motzias ishto beget veishasach bechalitza. He's going to have to divorce his wife, give her a get, and the eishasach, if he also can't do yibaman, he's going to have to do chalitza on. So Rabbi Yeshua takes the harshest stance, that he ends up with nobody. He started with a situation where he was married to one woman and potentially about to be married to a second woman, and he ends up with nothing. He has to divorce his wife and do chalitza with the yavama. Now, the Gemara had said that, the Mishnah had said that the first of the three approaches of what to do when you have a gedola u'katana is Rabbi Eliezer. That Rabbi Eliezer says, you teach the katana to do miyun, as if we encourage miyun. So it says, Mishari, do we allow teaching a katana that she should do miyun? Vatani bar kapara taught in the braisa, and the rest of the Gemara is much easier, no complicated cases. Loli mid, at least till the end of Amud Beis. Loli mid b'kadam b'shol shel dvarim yisrachik b'shol shel dvarim. That a person should always try to strive for three things and try to distance himself from three things. Yidbak b'shol shel dvarim, three things you should connect to and strive for are b'chalitza, meaning if you ever, not that you should try to kill your brother, but meaning if there's a yibum situation, chalitza is what you're looking for, yibum is not what you're looking for. Uba hava a shalom, and to always make shalom between different people, bin al mechavero, ishl ishto, uba hafaras nedarim. And if your wife ever takes a neder, immediately be made for the neder. As soon as you can, be made for the neder. V'yisrachik mishol shel dvarim, and he should also distance himself from three things. Mina miyun, he should distance himself from miyun, that if a katana gets married, she should never do miyun. Umina piktonos, you shouldn't be mafkid pikadon by other people. Umina arvonos, you should never be a co-signer on something. So those are the things a person should be misrachik from. So how could Rabbi Eliezer say in our Mishnah that we're melamdin as a katana lema'in, miyun is one of those terrible things you try to stay away from? So it says, no, miyun the mitzvah shiny. When we say not to do miyun, that's stam to do miyun when it's not l'tzorach mitzvah. Over here, the whole purpose of the miyun is to pave the way for a yibum. Yibum is a mitzvah daraisa. So you're allowed to pave the way for a yibum by doing a miyun. So gufa, now let's go through that list of three and three. So tani bar kapar lo'om yidbak adam b'shol shel dvarim. We said that you should connect to three things. Bechalitza, so why should you do chalitza over yibum? The mitzvah is b'yibum. So kabashol, because we're following the opinion of Abishol, the Tanya Abishol Omer, Hakonis is yivimto l'shem noi, l'shem ishus, l'shem davar acher. If a person does yibum, but his focus is because she's beautiful, or because he wants to have a reputation as a married man, or because something else, some other ulterior motive that has nothing to do with mitzvah, kilu pogei b'erva. We view that as if it's an isra v'eshasachav, it's as if he's violating one of the arayos. V'kor v'einai lios avlad mamzer. And it's ki'ilu, his son, the child from that marriage is going to be a mamzer. So yibum is a dangerous game to play. It's a mitzvah, but you got to be totally l'shem shemayim. How many people are totally l'shem shemayim? And therefore, chalitza is one of the things that we have a preference for. Second, bava shalom, that to create a sense of shalom, d'chziv, bika shalom v'radfeyu. That the pasuk says you should seek out shalom and chase after it. V'am rabbi yavo, asya radifa. Where else do we see a lashon of radifa? Ksiv Hacha, it says over here about Shalom Alashon of Radifa, Bakesh Shalom Vredfeu, Uksiv Hasim, and by Gemil Chasadim in Sefer Mishlei, it also says, Rodef Tzedakah V'chasid Yimtza, Chayim Tzedakah V'chavod. So Gzer Shavit tells me that if Yosek and Gemil Chasadim, you'll find Chayim Tzedakah in Olam Abba, and Kavod in Olam Azeh. So too, the Gzer Shavit tells me, if you work toward Shalom, you're going to benefit for the Schar Mitzvah in this world, and the Keren Kayemis though, L'Olam Abba. So it's a wonderful thing to spend your life doing, to try to create Shalom between different people. Then a third thing that the Brisa brings, that a person should connect to, Ba'afaras Nedarim, for a husband to be made for his wife's Nedarim. Why? Because you don't want a wife who has any Nedarim on her record. Ki Rabbi Nosson, Tetani Rabbi Nosson Omer, Hanoder Kilu Ban Abama. If someone takes a Neder to ask for something unnecessarily on themselves, it's as if they built a Bama at the time of Isser Bamos. Va'mekaimo, and if a person is Mekayim the Neder, meaning you don't try to undo the Neder, you keep that Neder intact, Kilu Hikrav Aleha Karban. It's like bringing a Karban on a Bama. So you violate two Isurim, the actual making of the Neder and the keeping the Neder in place. So therefore you always look for Afaras Nedarim. You always look. If a Neder happens, it's a Halbatzara, but yeah, you try to get rid of it, you try to do Afaras Nedarim. V'yisrachik M'shol Shadvarim. And a person should also distance himself from three things. Mina mi'unin. The first thing is not to do mi'un. So the Gemara says, why not? Dilma gadol mechartaba. Because maybe she'll grow older and she'll have charata from the mi'un and she'll want to go back to the husband that she did mi'un on. And rechoshesh, that if she gets remarried to someone else, the first husband is going to come and try to convince her when he knows that she regretted her decision. The second thing is piktonos, mina piktonos, stay away from piktonos. Bibar masa debaisa kibaisa dabi, that not to accept a pikadon from someone who lives in the same city, because since he's always in your house, the house of the makabala pikadon is like the mafkid is going to view it as if it's his own house. So since the mafkid lives in the same city as the person who's holding the pikadon, the mafkid is always going to go into the house of the nifkad, and we have to be choshish that maybe if he's a mafkid that's not a good person, he's going to take his pikadon from the house without letting the other guy know, and then he's going to go and he's going to be toveya and he's going to ask for it back. What do you mean you want it back? You already took it, but you're not going to know that he already took it. He's always around your house. He might take it and then ask for it again. And then mina hey ravon, you shouldn't be a cosigner. So what's that about? Barvish Shaltzion, a place called Shaltzion, where apparently they would always go after the Ariv instead of going after the Lova. So what does the pasuk mean? Raya roa, roa achara tavo lemakable gerim, that an evil after another evil will befall those who are makabel gerim, who are zarim to Am Yisrael, and ula arve shaltzion, and to the people who become an arev in shaltzion, and l'tokei atzmo l'dvar alacha, and also for people who are tokei atzmo l'dvar alacha. So now we have a new set of three, that there's a ra achara that befalls three people. One of them is arve shaltzion, and that's why we mentioned over here, but we're going to have to discuss the other two as well. You're makabel gerim, it's a ra achara, there's a mitzvah to be makabel gerim. Right? Remember, we in the gerus sugyas we discussed that shehuye mitzvah lo mashinan, do it right away, be Mekabel the ger right away. So mekabel gerim krabi chalbo dam rabbi chalbo kashim gerim lishol kasapachas ba'ar, that gerim are bad for the Jewish people. So there are like six different interpretations in Rishonim why that is. But in the end of the day, it's true. Arve shaltzion da avdi shalof dot, that they will be that like we said, that they're going to always that the malvim would not go to the lova, and they're just going to collect from the arev. What's that about the Tanya? Rabbi Yossi Omer Kala Omer Ein Lo Torah Ein Lo Torah. If someone says I don't have any Torah, I don't learn Torah, then he doesn't learn Torah. Says Mar Pshita. Obviously, if he says so, he doesn't. You got to take him at his word. El Komer Ein Lo El Torah Ein Lo El Torah. Now, someone who says that all he's got is Torah, then all he's got is Torah. Hanami Pshita. That's also obvious. Ella Da Afilu Torah Ein Lo. No, the point is he doesn't even have Torah. My time, Amar. Meaning, if a guy says all I have is Torah, I don't have any Maisim Tovim, he doesn't even have Torah. Amar Papa Amar Krav. If he does asiya satorah, then he does limud haTorah. If he doesn't do asiya satorah, then he doesn't do limud haTorah either. Or maybe it's like we said at first, kolomer ein lo ella Torah, that anyone who says all he's got is Torah, then ein achinami, all he's got is Torah. We said, isn't that obvious? So you can't give schar for someone who's not mekayim mitzvos. So lo tzricha to come gamer la'achrini v'azli avdi ma'udetema isla yigvel l'didei kamash malan. So I might have thought that, yeah, he only learns Torah, doesn't do mitzvos, but he teaches other people and they do mitzvos, so you might think he gets schar for his Torah. So kamash malan that he doesn't. Or maybe tukayas mal dvar alacha means the following, but dayana dasi dina l'kamei v'gamar Halacha, Madami Milsa Lemilsa, the Isle Rabba Veloz Mashil, a Dayan that sees a case and he thinks he can make a tsushtal to another case, he can make a comparison to another case, but he has a Rebbe that he's able to ask and he doesn't go and ask that Rebbe. That's the Tokay Atzmo Dvar Halacha. Dhamra Shobar Rachmani, Amra Biyonah's son, the Olam Yer Dayan, Atzmo Kilu Charv Munachsel Ben Yerchosav Gehad Psuchalom Mitachtav. A Dayan has to realize the seriousness of what he's dealing with. He should view it as if there's a sword in between his thighs and Gehenim is open up beneath him. Shenemar, he named Tassel Shoshom Shishim Gibor Musavla Mi Gibor Yisrael Mi Pachad Balelos. The pasuk says. So what does it mean? Mi Pachad Balelos. Mi Pachad Shal Gehenim Shedom Lelaila. From the Pachad of Gehenim, where Gehenim is Dome to Laila, where Gehenim is similar, is compared to night. Okay, Beis Shemar Rabbi Rasner will pick up tomorrow at Rav Gamliel Omer in Miena, and as far as he gets, Alicia will pick up from there and probably do a lot of catch up. So that is Beis Shemar. Thank you, Alicia, in advance for the next 4 weeks. I'll be only on Zoom in the afternoons over the next 4 weeks. Stay tuned to your WhatsApp. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.